Last week we were in 1 Kings, and I guess that's where we're going to be again this week, 1 Kings chapter 17. This is a little bit into the life of Elijah the prophet. In fact, we're going to pick up the story sort of, there's this drought that's been going on, and he's been obviously, like everybody else, looking for water, and God led him to this place. I believe it was the brook Cherith, if I recall correctly. And there was sort of a battle this whole time. Is God going to provide for me, or is he not going to provide for me? And the big lesson that I get from that is God will never lead us where he cannot take care of us. God will never lead us where he cannot take care of us. But the drought gets worse and worse, and if we had time to read it, we would see that the brook dried up. In fact, that's verse 7 there. So here's a question. How would you have reacted if the day after 9/11 someone told you to go to Afghanistan? You'd be like, yeah. What if they said, well, it's safer in Afghanistan than it is in the United States? You would have probably said, excuse me? That's Osama bin Laden's backyard. Well, Elijah, we're going to see this in verse 8, he's told to leave the brook Cherith because the water's dried up and go to a town called Zarephath. And if we had a map and we had time to sort of look at the map, we would see that this town is very close to the Mediterranean Sea and it's very close to Jezebel's hometown of Sidon, like neighbor, okay? So God's basically saying, hey, go to your worst enemy's backyard, and once you get there, I'll provide for you. I'll protect you. That'd be hard to do. I think it'd be a very difficult thing to do. But Elijah had to obey God, even though it seemed very weird. This seems like the exact opposite of what I should be doing. Why would I be going to near Sidon? I should be going the exact opposite way. And that's going to be a theme tonight. Time and time again, God is going to tell Elijah to do just something the exact opposite of what you would think. And I keep using the word weird, okay? And so that's a question for us to just consider before we get really into the study. Do you believe and obey God even when it seems weird? Even when it seems more counterproductive. Think about this. God tells us to pray whenever we think about it, basically, right? He says, pray without ceasing. Whenever it crosses your mind, whenever you think about it, just go ahead and pray. Now, he says, when we do that, great things will happen. To a lot of people, that just seems weird. That just seems odd. Just start talking to God, and he's going to do things. Well, we're going to see Elijah sort of in this very similar situation. God's telling him just these really odd things to do, and he has to obey them anyway. 1 Kings 17, starting in verse 8, says, then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which is nearby Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. Basically, they're about to starve to death. Verse 13, Elijah said to her, do not fear, go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first, and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Very interesting thing. Once again, all these just odd things coming up. The first one here is go to Sidon. Go to this Zarephath right next to Sidon. Let me get this straight, God. You want me to go to Jezebel's hometown? Now put this in perspective as well. Sidon is in the area north of Israel. It's the Phoenicians, it's Tyre and Sidon, two very famous cities north of Israel. And Elijah is an Israelite. That would mean he has a different look, a different perspective on life, probably a little bit different accent, just a different way of thinking. And now he has to go to this completely different part of the world. That would be like a Texas rancher, cowboy boots, cowboy hat, great big belt buckle, and they transplant him to Washington, D.C. Totally different way of thinking, right? You have these self-sufficient people with these leeches, okay? A totally different world, a world with suits and ties. This cowboy would just stick out. And Elijah going to this Sidon, he would stick out as well. And I think this is kind of, this morning we said there was, guy got some good news and some bad news. This would be very similar here. Good news is, Elijah, you're going to a place that has food. You're going to have water there. Bad news, you're in your mortal enemy's backyard. You ever had anything like that happen to you? Just something that's beyond ridiculous that you just, why would God want me to do this? Why? You know, the next time you hear something that's bad news, realize who's in control? God. Realize that he's going to work it out. He's going to finish it. So even though it's bad news right now, eventually it's going to be a good news. It's going to be good news if we've been obedient. Elijah was obedient. He goes there and he begins to continue learning lessons. And as he obeys, as he learns lessons, what do you think God's going to do? God's going to use him to do great things. So God will use us if we are willing to follow him, even if it seems like something crazy. The second crazy thing God says is this: I have told a widow to supply you with food. Now, what do we know about widows in those days? They're pretty much the poorest people around. Maybe a blind beggar would be a little bit poorer, okay, if you were totally disabled, you'd be maybe a little bit poorer. But women in those days, you were not allowed to hold a job, unless your husband, when he died, left you a large estate with many servants where they could farm and you could get an income. You were pretty much in trouble. And there's another aspect of this, too. There was a lot of widows back then, okay? What were the men constantly doing in those days? Fighting, battles, just constant battles. Or maybe there was a sailor because they were from that area of the world that there was many sailors. Any number of things. In fact, also in those days, it was pretty common for an older man to marry a much younger woman. Men many times might have been 20 years older than their wives. So there was a lot of widows. And God says to Elijah, go to an extremely poor person who is barely getting along and trying to feed herself and her son, and she's going to give you food. Pretty odd. Okay, so I have to go to Jezebel's backyard. I have to go be taken care of by a widow. Have you ever seen a homeless person? Like in a big city? On my senior trip, we were in Washington, D.C., and their hair's dirty. Their clothes are ragged. I saw a man digging through the trash, and he found a coffee cup, and there must have been a little bit of coffee left, and he drank that coffee out of that coffee cup. And God tells Elijah something in our day and age. He'd be like, hey, go up to that gross-looking homeless guy, and he's going to buy you lunch. Not just going to buy you lunch for today, he's going to buy your lunch for tomorrow, and the next day, in fact, for an entire year, he's going to buy your whole lunch. That seemed weird, wouldn't it? God, are you for real? Then it continues, okay? God says, Elijah, go to this widow woman, and you're going to eat and be fed before her and her son. Just seems a little backwards to me. Even though they have this little tiny bit of food left, Elijah, you're going to do it. Basically, he goes up to this lady and says, hey, give me your food, and I'm going to eat the last little bit, and then now you're going to starve to death. Now, who is getting the weird things? The lady. What is all this stuff? And then it continues, hey, if you do this, there's going to be this jar of flour and this bottle of oil, and it will not run out until the day the famine stops. What? Have you ever heard anything like that before? I've heard lots of missionary stories, and I forget who I was talking to just the other day. It was literally just a few days ago. Somebody was telling me a story about, I think it was in Haiti or Dominican Republic after the earthquake I think they had there a few years ago. A lady, one family, they had this little bottle of propane, and they were believers, and they screwed that last bottle of propane in, and they prayed and thanked God that this one bottle of propane went through. I don't know if this is true or not. I just heard this story. And that bottle of propane, I guess, lasted for months and months and months. And they said it was a very similar miracle to this. I had never heard of anything like that before out of all the different missionary stories. Was that you that told me that? Okay, you were giving me a look like it was you. I forget where I heard it, but it was a kind of a neat story. I would like to hear a little bit more. But that's what happens here. This lady, by faith, obeys Elijah, gives him the last little bit of flour and the oil that they mixed up and made some type of probably a flat bread, and that was the last thing. Well, I'll tell you why that would take a lot of faith. This woman, she's not from Israel. Okay? She probably doesn't really worship the true God. Now, she knows he exists, but he's not really worshiping her. So now this true God is going to provide this full flour and full jar of oil until the famine's over. Now, what God did she worship? Anybody? Baal. Okay, from that area of the world, Jezebel worshiped Baal. In fact, Jezebel's dad, I think, was a Baal priest. And Baal was known as the god of fertility. So he's supposed to give you more animals, supposed to give you more grain, supposed to provide you with lots of crops and lots of food. Now, what has Baal done for her? Nothing. Empty jar of flour. Empty jar of oil. So Elijah says, hey, your Baal gods failed you, but my God, the true God, is going to provide you with food even when your own God couldn't. Sometimes during Bible stories, when there's sort of a foreign God, a false God versus the true God, what always happens? Who wins? True God always wins. And he wins in such a way that it's almost like a slap in the face. Here is another one. The slap in the face to this Baal fertility God that's supposed to be providing with food, they don't have it. Elijah says, the true God will give you food. So what are some lessons we can learn? Hopefully I'm not going too fast. Sometimes I talk too fast. Here's some lessons. Let's see here. I have three lessons. God doesn't have accidents. God doesn't have accidents. God wasn't sitting up into heaven and saying, oh no, Elijah's brook is drying up and he's not going to have any water. God knew what was going to happen. And he had this plan, and he knew what Elijah's faith was going to be. And he had this place where he was going to take him. Now, where was that place he was going to take him? Enemy territory, being provided by a poor widow. Okay? But God worked out everything perfectly because he doesn't have accidents. Now, if God doesn't have accidents for Elijah and this widow woman, does he have accidents for us? No, he plans everything, okay? He knows what's going to happen, and he knows how he's going to turn out that accident into something good to help us. Now, I remember when I first took notes on this passage, it was back in 2003 or 2004. I was teaching some teens in Iowa, and on our mind, of course, at that time was 9/11 a lot. So as I'm looking through these notes, I see all these references to Bible college and 9/11. God didn't say on that September 11th, "Wow, what a surprise." He wasn't surprised by that. He knew that something bad was going to happen that day, and he knew thousands and millions of lives were going to be changed because of it. But sometimes he uses those weird, tragic accident things to change people's hearts. And if something weird happens in your life, something just really odd, out of the ordinary, instead of blaming God, instead of getting mad at God, look at him and say, "What lesson are you trying to teach me?" Maybe wonder, is he doing something to bring you closer to him? Now notice, as soon as Elijah walks into the city, as he's walking into the city, at that exact time, that widow is walking out. Remember that? She's picking up some sticks. Was that an accident? It's like we cross paths on accident. No, God arranged that. God arranged that. So the first thing we can learn is God doesn't have accidents. The second is we must have faith in the little things before God will let us do great things for him. And that's actually why I picked this out. I recall this lesson a decade. I remember that line. It's one of the things the Lord's taught me over the years. We must have faith in the little things before God will let us do great things for him. How many here would like to do something for God someday? Would you like to do something for God someday? Okay, hands down. How many here would like to do something great for God someday? Okay, getting it? Is there anyone here who just says, "I don't care. I don't care if I do anything for God"? Okay, yeah, okay, nobody's going to raise their hand for that one. You know, before we can do anything great for God, we have to start doing some of the small things. We have to obey God in the little things. Now, it's a pretty big step for Elijah to leave this brook, to go to this place, and to be fed by a widow, okay? But he had to take each step along the way. Now, those may seem like big steps to us. Now, in our world, in our time period, we're like, "Well, that's a pretty big step." Now, think about eventually what Elijah was going to have to do later on. Confront people, Baal prophets, I mean, do some amazing things. Maybe I've got it backwards in my head, but Elijah's done some huge stuff. In between, he had to take these small steps. Go be fed by a widow? He was fed by ravens, okay? You know, right now, God may be asking us, depending on our age, my boys, he asks them to obey their parents. That's the small thing. That's the thing that they have to do right now. He's asking each one of us to read our Bibles. He's asking us to pray. He's asking us to go to church. He's asking us to not get drunk. He's asking us to be moral. And some of us may say, "Well, those maybe are little things." In some cases, they are little. In some cases, they're big. But if God can't trust us with those things, how could he trust us with big stuff? So we're to obey God right now with the little things and wait and see what he'll use us for big things. When I was going through college, I worked and worked and worked. I worked with my dad at the concrete plant, and I think, I don't even know what time it was when we left the house, like 4:30. I don't even know if I was awake. I just kind of stumbled out to the car and I would sleep. And at first I would start work at 7. And then the owner of the company said, "No, you can start as soon as you get there." So I'd start at like 6 in the morning, and we'd get done, you know, 5 or 6 at night, and then I mowed the church lawn because my mom said, if God wants you to be a pastor, you're going to not have any debt to get through college. So we worked and we worked. My mom got a job cleaning some different places. And I was trying, I guess, more or less, now that I look back on it, to obey God in the little things. I also had to do ministry when I was at college. We had to get these ministry credits. And one of my ministry credits was during the day, the church I went to in Pennsylvania, they had a mom's timeout day. So there was groups for the children. You know, these are daycare age children, like first through four-year-olds. Well, I was working with four-year-olds. I have some now. But I didn't at the time. And these four-year-olds were crazy. There was biters. There was, I mean, all kinds of stuff. And that's another thing. Obeying God in the little things. You know, I sort of did, and I'm not trying to praise myself or trump myself up or anything like that. But I tried to do my best to obey God in the little things. From watching little kids in church during the day to now, he's put me in the ministry of being a pastor. Now I kind of am doing some big things. All along the way, we have to do here. I wouldn't be here tonight if I didn't obey God in some little things. And that's the same with all of us. Obey God in the little before he'll let us do great things for him. Even if what he's asking you seems kind of weird, okay? Even if it's crazy. Number three, the last lesson. The woman, she didn't have much food left, but God asked her to give it. When we think about ourselves, none of us in here have a lot. I mean, we have enough where we're comfortable. I don't know of anybody that's just in dire straits, okay? We all are comfortable. We all have some great things, but we don't have a superabundance. None of us has, wow. Okay, just you see somebody. None of us is just exceptionally blessed with talents. But God asks each one of us to give what we do have. And even if we don't have a lot, who has a lot? God. God has everything. And when we give that little bit, and we step out in faith and give that little bit, he's going to kick in the rest so that we can accomplish great things for him. So all in all, he will provide for us. That's the three lessons. Number one, God doesn't have accidents. Number two, if we are faithful in the little things, we can have the opportunity to be faithful in much. And the last thing is God will provide for us. Is there any questions about Elijah? Anything about Elijah before we come up and sing that last song? Any questions or comments? Maybe somebody has a brief personal testimony or something. Dave. I don't know. I don't know. The Lord had to have been in that. I don't know if I maybe would give it up for me, but I wouldn't give it up for my kid. That'd be tough. Anything else? Any other questions? Want to click to our last song there? We'll sing our last song, Room at the Cross for You.